It's time for Let's Talk with Brian Pettaway.
Good morning, happy Sunday, and welcome to Let's Talk. I am your host, Brian Pettaway. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Got a great show for you today, and my guest today is a man that has been here before, and he always generates a lot of buzz, never a dull moment, and I'm talking about the Reverend Dr. Jamal Bryant. He's going to be with me today, talking to me about a couple of things, but most importantly, something that's going on down in his area that's affecting the children of that area that everyone in the country really should be troubled by. I cannot wait to talk to him about that. We also have the Petty here today. He's going to give us a breakdown of the four teams that are playing in the NFC and AFC championship games this afternoon. I think we all know who's projected to win these games, but we're going to get it solidified by the Petty today as he talks about our Ravens. Also, we're going to have Sunday fun facts today, which I love to dig up and give you guys, and you guys seem to enjoy it as well. But before any of that happens, you've got me, of course, and I'm going to be giving you some news and commentary from the things that have gone on this past week. So I hope you're feeling great because I'm feeling great. I've got lots to talk about, so let me get right to it. Nick Mosby, recent ex-husband of the former Baltimore City State's attorney Marilyn Mosby, took the stand in her mortgage fraud case on Thursday and shocked everyone when he said that the reason Marilyn Mosby is in court is because of him. He said that it's because of his mismanagement of his tax situation that she's even in court today. He also said when asked why they divorced, he said that there was a complete breakdown in their marriage, that they grew apart. He said even though she was his college sweetheart and he loved her tremendously, that they never even had a joint bank account. And he said that that's the reason why she did not know that he was in tax problems. He said he never told her and that he had installments with the IRS that didn't seem to be going well. So he heard an ad for Optima Tax Relief, as we've all heard that ad, and he hired them to take care of his tax problems, but he never shared this information with his then-wife. Nick Mosby said that not only did she not know about his tax debt arrangements, she never knew a tax debt existed. Marilyn Mosby is accused of failing to disclose tax debt on mortgage documents for two Florida vacation homes. Federal prosecutors said she knowingly lied on the documents, but Marilyn Mosby has proclaimed her innocence since the beginning, and Nick Mosby taking the stand seems to be giving a reason as to why it may not have been a lie. Just a matter of not knowing what was going on. Now, whether the jury believes that story or not is a whole nother thing. But I gotta tell you, what I'm struck by is the amount of regret that Nick Mosby seems to be filled with in regards to not only this case, but also the ending of his marriage. He said that he caused a tremendous amount of damage to his family. The prosecution started its cross-examination of Nick Mosby on Thursday afternoon late, and there was some heat in the exchanges. But the judge abruptly ended testimony on Thursday afternoon, and that cross-examination will continue on Monday morning, as the judge does not sit on Fridays. Also, Fox 45 is reporting that a woman is in custody now after Prince George's County said she struck five people with her car and stabbed two people, including a 15-year-old. Officers said that they responded to the Forest Park and Ritchie Road area of Capitol Heights for the report of a pedestrian hit at around 5:05 p.m. on Thursday. When they arrived, officers said that they found a woman who suffered minor injuries after being hit by a car while she was walking on the sidewalk. And then, 10 minutes later, at about 5:15, officers responded to 20 Ritchie Road in Landover, where they found two pedestrians, a man and a 15-year-old boy, had also been hit by a car. Officers said the driver of that vehicle got out of her vehicle and stabbed both victims. The 15-year-old boy was left with critical injuries, and the man suffered non-life-threatening injuries, according to the officers. 15 minutes after that, officers say they responded to another hit-and-run. The man suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Within minutes of that, they received another report of a pedestrian hit in the 100 block of Addison Road South. The man's injuries were considered minor. And then at around 6:35, officers reported to the 900 block of Annapolis Road in Lanham and another stabbing, where a man was left in critical condition. Police determined that a single woman driving a dark-colored sedan was the person of interest in all of these incidents. Police say the scary thing about these incidents is that they were completely random, and there seems to be no rhyme or reason as to why this woman did these things to these people. Also in Baltimore, a 32-year-old man has been arrested after he fatally stabbed a 6-year-old boy. Detectives arrested Alan Geslicki in reference to the stabbing death of 6-year-old Saron O'Neill, which occurred on Tuesday of last week. Police say that Geslicki fatally stabbed O'Neill inside of O'Neill's home in the 2000 block of Deering Avenue. Geslicki, who was the boyfriend of O'Neill's mother, was arrested in the Southwest District shortly after he stabbed O'Neill. He was arrested during a vehicle stop and a short foot pursuit that ended in the 100 block of South Carrollton Avenue. Detectives took Geslicki to the central booking intake facility, where he was charged with first-degree murder. I have no idea what compels a man to stab a six-year-old boy to death. But what I do know is that when he is convicted, this man, he needs to be put in general population. So let me ask a question real quick. When a child is killed, hurt, molested by a mother's boyfriend, how much responsibility falls on that mother? I mean, the reason I ask is because how do you choose the people that are around your children? We have to be extra careful when choosing our partner, especially when we have a young child. This story sickens me because it's so avoidable. It's so avoidable. All right, I have another story that's kind of stupid. I mean, it really makes no sense. It infuriates me. It's one of those stories that you read and you think that's not possible. It's a story about a 34-year-old black woman in Ohio. Her name is Brittany Watts. Brittany was 21 weeks and 5 days pregnant when she noticed an uncomfortable fluid leaking from her, and her OBGYN told Brittany that her pregnancy was non-viable, so she was transported to Mercy Health St. Joseph Warren Hospital in Warren, Ohio. She waited for hours. She waited 8 hours to see a doctor that never came. She kept asking the people who took her vitals, when's the doctor coming, and they kept saying, we're waiting, we're waiting, we're waiting. So Brittany went home. The hospital report states that Brittany understood her risk of complications, including hemorrhage, sepsis, or death. But she went home anyway because there was nothing happening at the hospital, and she felt she'd be more comfortable home than sitting in the hospital for nothing to happen. She returned to the hospital the next day to get labor induction. She waited for 11 hours, she said, but was never induced and opted to go home again. And she said she felt very frustrated and felt ignored. Now, here's where it gets frustrating for me. Here's where it gets crazy for anybody else that's listening, if you have any common sense. Her case was referred to Mercy Health's Ethics Committee that day after staff reported concerns with Brittany using the word abortion when discussing the next steps to her care. In Ohio, abortions after 22 weeks into pregnancy are banned, with the exception to life-saving care, according to the state's law. Now remember, Brittany had not reached 22 weeks yet. Upon arriving at the hospital a third time, in the middle of her miscarriage, a nurse reassured her that everything was going to be okay. Meanwhile, that same nurse, whom the hospital has not identified, called the police. She actually dialed 911. And in that 911 call, she said that Brittany didn't want to look at the fetus. She also alleged that Brittany didn't want the baby and that she didn't look. Brittany, however, said that wasn't true. She said she didn't want to look at the fetus. She said it would be upsetting to look at the fetus. But she never said that she didn't want the baby. She said she would never say something like that. It just made her angry that this nurse would put those types of words in her mouth to make her look so callous and so hateful. Now remember, this was a miscarriage. It wasn't an abortion. And if it was an abortion, she was still within 22 weeks. And her life was in danger, according to her OBGYN. So nothing right here is illegal. However, police arrested Brittany days later on charges of abusing a corpse under a state law that punishes those who treat a human corpse in a way that the person knows would outrage reasonable family sensibilities or community sensibilities, whatever the hell that means. The fifth degree felony charge is punishable by up to 1 year in prison and a fine of up to $2,500. This case, this incredibly stupid case, went all the way to the Ohio State's grand jury. And earlier this month, it was decided that she would not be indicted, that she did not violate the Ohio criminal statute. So let me recap. A young black woman goes to her OGBYN in her 21st week of pregnancy and finds out that her fetus is dead inside of her. She's transported to a hospital to get help. She waits 8 hours the first day, then goes home. Waits 11 hours the second day and then goes home. Comes back the third day and has a miscarriage right there in the hospital in front of a nurse who was supposed to be comforting her, telling her that everything's going to be okay. But as soon as the nurse leaves her side, she dials 911 and lies on Brittany and says that Brittany didn't want the baby to begin with and would not look at the fetus. So what? She didn't abort the baby. The baby was dead when it came out, so she didn't kill the baby. But this white nurse weaponizes the police against a single black woman. And the police arrest her days later. So while she's grieving the death of her child, she's put in handcuffs and is charged with abusing a corpse. There are some things that go on in this country that are beyond me. I don't understand how things like this are allowed to happen. But clearly they do happen. So the question is, are things really getting any better? I just don't see it. I just do not see it. All right, as soon as we come back, we're going to get Sunday Fun Facts. We'll be right back after this.
Hey, Baltimore, make sure you don't miss the Christopher Williams Lovebirds pre-Valentine's Day catered dinner and concert. This would definitely be the hottest show of the Valentine's Day season, featuring a live full concert by Christopher Williams, straight from New Jack City. This very intimate show will take place at Martin's West Grand Ballroom on Sunday, February 11th at 5 p.m. with special guest Shay and music by DJ Jazz. Doors open at 3:30 p.m. and tickets are selling fast, so get yours now. For full menu and details, call 410-215-8893. This is a Sean E. Merriman promotion.
All right, we're back, and it is time for Sunday Fun Facts, and I've got three of them here that are kind of crazy. The first one is that animals that lay eggs do not have a belly button. And if you think about it, it makes sense. There is no umbilical cord, right? So why would there be a belly button? All right, fun fact number two. And this really surprised me. The very first toy to be advertised on TV, what do you think it was? What do you think was the very first toy to be advertised on TV? It was Mr. Potato Head. See, clearly you are as surprised as I am, because, you know, we walk around thinking about this all day, every day. But really, April 30th, 1952, Mr. Potato Head became the first toy advertised on television, and it was the very first commercial to be aimed directly at children. Before that, commercials only targeted adults. But this commercial, it revolutionized marketing and caused an industrial boom. Go ahead, Mr. Potato Head, who knew, right? Who knew? And this last one I actually tried this morning. But if you add salt to a pineapple, it makes it taste sweeter. Now, you know about adding salt to a cantaloupe, but if you add salt to a pineapple, it actually makes it taste sweeter. Give it a shot. It's true. It's very, very true. All right, that was kind of fun. I learned something today, especially Mr. Potato Head. Kind of surprised. But it is time now to talk about the topic of today. And it's something that I heard that I really didn't believe. But apparently, in DeKalb County, Georgia, kids who are on the free lunch program are only going to be served cheese sandwiches and milk until the end of the school year. Now, I wanted to get all the particulars about this, so I wanted to talk to the man who's down in the middle of it, who's trying to put a stop to this ridiculousness, and that is the Reverend Dr. Jamal Bryant. Now, of course, he's been here before talking to me, and we have him back again today to tell us all the particulars about this ridiculous situation down in DeKalb County. All right, 1500 family, please help me welcome back to Let's Talk the pastor of the New Birth Missionary Baptist Church down in Stonecrest, Georgia, but Baltimore son always, the Reverend Dr. Jamal Bryant. How you doing today, sir?
Man, wonderfully well. Good to hear your voice and delighted to be with you.
I appreciate you so much. You're back here with me again. And I won't take up a whole lot of your time. What's going on down there with these cheese sandwiches? When I first heard about this thing, I thought it was a joke.
Yes.
I mean, I really did. I couldn't imagine any system would be, at this day and age, this cruel or insensitive to kids.
And it is a miracle. Let me first give a backdrop. That the city of Decatur, which is a suburb to Atlanta, for those of you in Baltimore, it would be equivalent to Owens Mills in terms of distance.
Okay.
Had a meeting on January 17th saying they were in a budget crunch of $89,000. As a consequence, they did not have funds to pay for disadvantaged students and those who were getting free lunch or subsidized lunch. So for the rest of the year, clutch your pearls, they will be eating cheese sandwiches and milk. And all of us were dizzied that this would be going on in 2024.
So let me get this right. Those who could not afford the lunch program, who were getting free lunches like the other kids who were on a lunch program that they were paying for, is going to be getting different lunches. Not all of these kids are going to get cheese sandwiches, just the ones that couldn't afford the lunch program. So the other kids are going to be getting something different.
Yes. A new term out called a hot meal.
Yeah, so are they not familiar with how cruel kids can be? Like, you stigmatize kids when that happens right away.
Right. So, so a black woman in the community started a GoFundMe to do it. And let me tell you how the community rallied. In 3 days, she raised $90,000.
Oh, my goodness.
I wish that was the end of the good news. Arby's restaurant, their foundation, Arby's Foundation, called the board this morning at 9 a.m. and said that they were paying the bill. So on top of the $90,000 that Arby's is getting, this other $90,000 is going into the coffers so that there won't be a deficit.
Wow.
All of this has happened today.
Wow.
All of this has happened today.
Now, I know on your live, you said that, well, you didn't say that you were going to end it by Monday. You said that God was going to end it by Monday.
Yes. And let me tell you what, in my head, transparently, that'll be on the other side of it, is I was planning, because I invited the superintendent of schools to come to church on Sunday, so I was going to raise it right there on the floor.
Oh, really?
So that's why I said by Monday, we got to have it done. But God has a way of saying, listen, Jamal, Brian don't get the credit. Newbirth don't get the credit. I did all of this.
You know what's funny, man? I don't honestly like to make everything or anything really about race. But I had a suspicion, and I don't know anything about DeKalb County, but my guess was that the majority of the students in the schools were black. And so what I did was I did a quick search to look up the racial composition of the population in that county. And as I suspected, it's predominantly black. Now, some people will say it has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with economic breakdowns within the state. But I'm not really buying that. I mean, are you?
No, not at all. And since I did that live, you would be amazed how many people from school districts around the country are saying that this is taking place all over the nation.
What?
And so I had no idea that hunger has become such a prominent issue in public schools, where I thought, I don't know, the taxpayers and the government took care of all of it.
Exactly.
Only for me to find out that is not the case. And so we're dealing with another pandemic right in our midst, underneath our nose, where we're having to gauge and see how it is that we feed our children who, drum roll, are hungry at school.
Yeah, I mean, oftentimes in underprivileged families or economically challenged families, these kids, this is the only meal that they get. A lot of times, it's the only meal that they get is at school. Do you know, Jamal, if the budget that the state gives the school districts, is it broken down in category by lunch, by staff, by administration, or does just a full budget go and then the school decides where that budget is dispersed?
I don't know, but you're going to have to bring me back, because we're meeting with the school system on next week to really find out how we got to this point. I'm as new to it as you are. And so I'm turning myself in. and I really don't know. I was blindsided by it. My members were just sending me the local news stories around it. And so I'm running up from behind.
When did you find out about it?
Yesterday was Wednesday.
You found out about it on Wednesday.
Or Tuesday, because I went live on Thursday.
So when you found out about it, was it brought to you by a parent, or was it brought to you by just a parishioner, or how did you?
No, neither. It was brought to me by a newscaster.
Oh.
A newscaster asked me, what did I think about it? I didn't know. I had to scram.
I'm telling you, I thought it was a joke. I really, really thought it was a joke, because it sounds like they're preparing them for prison. You get cheese sandwiches in prison, and that's what it sounded like.
That's exactly what it is.
Wow. Well, it sounds like there's good news going on. I got another question for you, and then I'll let you run. Yes, you got a lot going on. And how do I phrase this? You're a prominent figure now down in the South, a man with some serious clout now. You got an enormous following in your church. You got a mega church, and you're big on social media, and one with an activist heart, right? How do you determine what to get involved in and speak on? I mean, I ask that question because a lot of the pastors that I've met are, I don't want to say afraid, but they're kind of timid about discussing political social issues from the pulpit in fear of jeopardizing a tax exempt status. That doesn't seem to bother you. So,
no, I think that's part of the responsibility. A shepherd doesn't just lead the flock. The shepherd's responsibility is to protect their own wool.
Right.
And so anything that is a danger to those in my congregation, my community, I feel like is my responsibility.
Perfect. So I guess the question is, with the erasure of Black history going on in these schools, these public schools down in the South, have you taken a stance on that? And have you gotten together with anybody else as far as pastors to try to combat that as a group? Like, I know there's something that bothers you. It's got to bother you. So,
yeah. So I am, because Atlanta really is the home of the civil rights movement.
Right.
The home of Dr. King. I can tell you in high commendation that the Black clergy are really on the front line. Let's not forget, Georgia is the only state in the union with a Black pastor in the Senate.
Okay.
So,
okay.
No, our pastors are on the wall, and they are not going away quietly.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big thing. I mean, I watched Nikki Haley last week talk about how this country was never a racist country. And it seems like there's an intentional push to get rid of slavery's history. And I'm trying to figure out how, I mean, the Black church is so strong.
Yeah, so I'm talking to you actually from Fort Lauderdale.
Okay.
Where I was in a meeting. Yeah, let me give you a point in case. The Black pastors in Florida, in the face of these books being banned and the changing of our actual history, are now developing and curating a Black history after school program that is led with the books that are banned.
Wow.
And so, yeah, no, it's absolutely phenomenal that the Black church is really finding a resurgence of social justice and community engagement at a different level.
Now, who's sponsoring that?
The pastors, the Black Pastors Union of Florida.
Is there
not a national organization?
Is there any fear of pushback from DeSantis in that? Because you know he's hell bent
on getting
they're
not receiving federal funding.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so they got a little bit of levity to be able to really speak truth to power.
Okay, and so the tax exempt status is not affected. There's no threat
That's
to that.
Correct. None.
Wow. I didn't know that. See, this is the kind of stuff people should know. Like, I didn't know that.
Yeah, state by state.
And when does this start, or has it already started?
No, they're doing it right now.
Really?
Yes.
Is this Monday through Friday, or is it just on Sundays?
It depends on the churches.
Okay.
So some churches do it on Saturdays. Some do it 5 days a week. Some churches are doing it in place of Sunday school. So each church is following their own modality based off of, I don't know, their volunteer level and space level and all of those things.
And you said this is happening all over the country at this point?
All over the state of Florida.
All over the state of Florida.
State of Florida.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you going to do that in your try to get that started in your state? Because this is something that should be going on all over the country. I got to be honest with you.
Yes. Well, thanks be to God. In Georgia, our books haven't been banned yet.
Right.
Nor have our history been revised, but if it is, then we'll be right on it.
I tend to think that what happens in one southern state that they can get away with, and I always say this, is going to matriculate to the others. So
yes,
and that's typically what happens. But man, that's good news. I didn't know that. I promise you, I didn't know that. But
it's a fire revolution of education has taken place, and I hope that we're able to see more of it.
Wow. Well, the good news is that that's good news. That's great news. But the good news is about the Cobb County is that budget now is taken care of. There should be hot meals for every kid at this point. Is that correct?
Yes.
And has that been promised to you guys yet?
No. They made a public statement and a press release today. So you should be able to find it. That they will not be in a school, and every child will eat, and the bill has been paid for the rest of the school year.
Wow.
Kudos to the Arby's Foundation.
I mean, you called it. You said it'd be taken care of before the weekend is over. Wow. Well, I'm impressed. All right, well, listen, that's all I had for you. I couldn't believe it, and I just wanted to hear from, you know, the horse's mouth, so to speak, because I could not believe that this was going on. So
No. Thank you for lifting and amplifying the issue, and if I see any divergence from it, I'm going to call you collect.
No worries, man. I appreciate you. Dr. Reverend Jamal Bryant, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me on. Honored to be with you.
All right, buddy. Take care. That was fun, but I hear the music, and that music means only one thing on this show, and that means it is time for the Petty. Let's get him on the line and get his pick for the two championship games that will be played today.
Hello, good morning.
It is.
How are you?
It's the Petty. It's the Petty. It's championship week, bruh. How you doing, man?
Yeah. Yes, sir. This is it. This is the big one. We talking about the Final Four. And yes, it is AFC, NFC championship football today. Man, I've been waiting all year for this.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything today except watching these games.
You know, so, but before we get into that, let's talk about some other things that have been happening in the NFL.
Okay.
Now, first and foremost, there are only two vacancies left for coaching jobs. And we're talking about the Seattle Seahawks and the Washington Commanders. The other vacancies have been filled, which I will talk about in just a second.
Okay.
And it's amazing to me that by now that the Seahawks would have picked Dan Quinn from the Dallas Cowboys to be their head coach.
Yeah.
But after that showing in the playoffs, I think they might be having second thoughts.
Yeah, that's interesting to me.
I think because there's a new ownership group in Washington that they're trying to get themselves together with the ownership group to try to figure out how they'll be moving forward with their head coaching. So, you know, we'll be keeping an eye out on that.
Did Pete Carroll retire? Did he retire or was he ousted?
He was, you know what? Pete Carroll's been around for a long time. You know, they did win the Super Bowl up in Seattle. They won a second time. And I think that it just got to a point where they felt like, you know what, Pete, you're 72 years old. It's time for you to kind of step aside in the head coaching position. We really don't want you to leave the organization. So what they've done, they've given him a job up in the front office as kind of like a consultant.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
So even though he had a very emotional press conference, you could tell he did not want to stop coaching.
Right.
But they did say, we're not getting rid of you altogether. You still have a home here with us in the Seahawks organization.
Right.
So he's kind of like a consultant. He has his own little office up in the front, you know. And his coaching duties, he's been relieved of.
Okay.
So let's talk about some of these coaches that have been hired.
Okay.
You know, we talked about Gerard Mayo going to the Patriots. We talked about Antonio Pierce going to the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders.
Right.
Well, there's been another hiring of another African-American coach, and this guy coached before, so he's getting a second go-round. Talking about Raheem Morris will be the coach of the Atlanta Falcons. Now, that's interesting because the Falcons was kind of wooing Bill Belichick.
Right.
But from what I understand, there was a little something going on with Belichick wanting a little bit too much power within the organization. And they said, nah, we don't think so. And I mean, here's a guy that went and saw the owner on his private yacht. Had some other, you know, another interview with him, with the general manager and some other heads of the organization. And something was said within those meetings that kind of turned them off from Bill Belichick. So they decided to go with Raheem Morris. So Raheem Morris, congratulations. You are now the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons.
They went real black. Raheem. Okay.
Yes, sir. Now, the Chargers have made up their mind who they want to be a coach. And I'm telling you right now, I think we're going to start seeing some things from that Charger. They have a decent quarterback with Justin Herbert. I'm really not a big fan of his. But
I was going to say, I don't know about Justin Herbert.
The talent is there. I think the coaching was lacking. And
okay.
I think they brought in the right person to turn that team around.
Okay. All right.
Who's the brother of the Baltimore Ravens head coach, John Harbaugh. The Chargers decided we're going to go with Jim Harbaugh.
Wow.
And I'm telling you. this guy, when he was in the NFL, you saw what he did with the 49ers.
Right, right.
And I have a feeling he will do the same thing with the Chargers. And the Chargers are in a very tough division because you know they're out there in the AFC West with Kansas City.
Right.
Well, I think next season, we're going to see some changes there. I mean, this guy, he's just coming off of a national championship win. And I always felt that he was a good coach in the NFL. I was very disappointed how the front office of the 49ers handled the situation with Harbaugh. He had them on the roll. And, you know, because Trent Baalke, thank God we got rid of him, talking about the 49ers,
right,
he just ruined that whole thing, you know. So Jim Harbaugh goes to the Chargers, and I think that's going to be something special out in L.A., and I'm talking about the L.A. Chargers. I almost slipped and said San Diego.
I heard you.
They play in SoFi, and they play on L.A. So look out for the L.A. Chargers to do something in the AFC West.
What I like about John Harbaugh is he left college the right way with a championship. He gave them a championship, and then he bounced. He did the best that he could for them, and then he bounced. And that's all you can ask for a guy.
Yeah, and you know, he was kind of hitting around because, you know, he had an interview, and this is when everybody kind of knew that he was leaving Michigan, when he said, well, you know, we've had some meetings, and we're talking about the passing of the torch, moving on to next season. And a lot of people kind of interpreted as that, all right, the passing of the torch is that maybe you got some seniors graduating, you had to rebuild that team up to keep it as a powerhouse in college football, or are you moving on and you're passing this coach on to, I mean, passing the torch on
right.
to another coach.
Right.
So when he, you know, that was out there, and you know, it's I think it's a good hire for the Chargers.
Okay.
You know, I think you can do something with that team. Now we have Dave Canales. Never heard of the guy, but he was the offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this past season. And you see what he done with the pastry chef and that pastry chef and that team.
Right.
Got him into the playoffs.
Right.
He will be the head coach, the new head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
Okay. All right.
I think it's kind of interesting. You know, you saw what he did with the pastry chef. I think Baker Mayfield played very well enough to get himself a nice contract moving on in the next season's coming up. So he'll get to work with Bryce Young. And I think that's good. He's a young coach. He's only 47 years old. Got a young quarterback, a young team. You know, if the fans and the owner is patient with this young head coach, we might see some things coming out of Carolina and NFC South.
What do you think the odds of Cam Newton coming back to play for those guys is? Because he keeps talking about it.
Who coming back? Who, Baker Mayfield?
No, Cam Newton.
Cam, and I call Cam Newton Miss Newton because it's just some of his antics that, you know, look, Cam is done.
Okay.
That's it. So Miss Newton can keep his little podcasts and his little funny wearing stuff and just talk about other players, because when you go to New England and you play for Bill Belichick, if you can't turn your crap around then, you're done.
Right. Right.
And that was an opportunity for him to, and I mean, you're talking about one of the greatest head coaches in the NFL of all time. If you can't shine on that team, Randy Moss did it.
Yeah, he did.
You know, Patrick Chung, who was with the Patriots, left the Patriots, went to Philly, looked like a bum in Philly, then went back to the Patriots and won the Super Bowl. So if you can't play with Bill Belichick in this system, hey, you're done. So, Miss Cammy, you keep your opinions to yourself. Don't even think about putting on another uniform. You know, the S has faded on your chest. That Superman thing he used to do,
it's done. Okay. All right.
So, like I said, another head coach was hired. We're talking about Brian Callahan, who was the former offensive coordinator for the Cincinnati Bengals. He worked with Joe Burrow. Maybe he's thinking, hey, I can go to Tennessee and work with Will Levis and do some things. I think it was kind of messed up how they did Mike Vrabel down in Tennessee, firing him.
Right.
But it's a possibility. I don't think he'll go to Seattle, but I think there's a possibility he may land in Washington with the Commanders.
Ooh.
We shall see.
You don't think it's going to be Eric Bieniemy, huh?
No, I don't. I think if it was going to be Eric Bieniemy,
it already be Eric
made already.
Yeah, yeah.
But and I really think he deserves a head coaching job. But there's something that's stopping him from getting those interviews.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
And everything, because I hadn't even heard of him getting an interview.
No.
So something's going on there. I don't know what it is. You know, maybe Andy Reid put out a bad bone about him or something where he's not getting interviews and he's not getting hired. And that's kind of strange to me, because if you look at what Eric Bieniemy did with that Kansas City offense, who I'll be talking about in a few minutes, you would have thought that, hey, we're talking about Brian Callahan. We're talking about Dave Canales. We're talking about Raheem Morris. Now, I'm going to give Jim Harbaugh a pass because he has a resume that says, yes, he deserves to be a head coach. But we're talking about Raheem Morris, who had a chance to be a head coach, Dave Canales, and Brian Callahan. So you're trying to tell me that these three coaches that I just mentioned are better than Eric Bieniemy?
No, absolutely not.
So it's kind of strange that these guys were hired and there's no mention of Eric Bieniemy at all.
Yeah, it's weird.
Something's going on there. I might have to dig a little deeper to find out what's the real scoop behind why he didn't get the call to be a head coach. And as I mentioned, Bill Belichick, it seems as though he will not be coaching the 2024 season or ever. Which means he will fall 15 games short of tying Don Shula, 16 games short of being the all-time winningest head coach in the NFL. And maybe the NFL are planning it that way. It's kind of strange. Come on, man. This dude's, you know what Bill Belichick's resume is.
Right. Right.
You know, but he's 72 years old. Maybe he can't relate to the players. Maybe he can't relate to the front office. Maybe he wants too much power. I don't know. But check this out, Brother B. And if it comes to fruition, you know you heard it here first. If Mike McCarthy cannot do anything with the Cowboys this upcoming season, I think he will be fired. And Dallas might bring in Bill Belichick.
Do you think it will take the whole season for them to fire McCarthy if he's not doing well?
Listen, Jerry wants a puppet.
Yeah, but that's not Belichick.
That's not Belichick. But Jerry wants to win the Super Bowl before he leaves this earth.
Right.
That's with that talent, that's Belichick.
Okay. You think Dak would do better under Belichick?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You think all those mistakes and all that stuff that's going on there? Dallas lacks discipline. Bill Belichick is a disciplinarian of men and teams.
Okay.
So let's see what happens in 2024 as far as what them boys down in Texas are doing. And like I'm telling you, if they don't make it, let me tell you something, Brother B. If they don't make it to the NFC Championship next year, I think Mike McCarthy's out and Belichick may be waiting in the wings.
Okay. All right.
So, as you have mentioned, this is championship weekend. Man, oh, man, I haven't been down to Baltimore. I meant to get down there, but I'm pretty sure they are rocking and rolling down there.
Hype.
They should be.
It's a sea of purple and black, bro, everywhere you go.
Purple, gold, and black all over the city. This is the big game. This is it. This young man should be the MVP, no doubt.
Come on, Lamar.
Hands down, Lamar should be the MVP. He got the bag. He's proved that he's worth the money. And then he's just got to go ahead and win one more game.
Right.
To shut everybody up.
Right.
We ain't even talking about the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about this AFC Championship game because he's playing one of the best of the best. This team and this guy have been in the last six AFC Championship games. Now I'm talking about Patty Mahomes and those Kansas City Chiefs. They are rolling into Baltimore.
Yeah,
they
are.
And I'm telling you, Brother B, I'm highly disappointed in Buffalo. This was their shot. I think it might be time to blow that team up, blow up the coaching staff. Because you were at home. The team that you wanted the Chiefs. You wanted them in your house. And you couldn't beat them.
Two words, brother. Wide right.
Well, the ghost of Scott Norwood
yes.
is still lingering in the lures of the Buffalo Wild Wing Bills history.
Can you imagine being a fan?
Right again.
And seeing
you
that.
You don't win a Super Bowl because of it. You don't go to the AFC Championship because of it.
I can't even imagine being a fan seeing that again. It's got to be the most sickening feeling ever. When you see that ball go wide right, it just probably brings back every. That was a guy. who was like boo-hoo crying. I don't know if you saw him in the stands.
Oh, yeah, I definitely saw it. Oh, I saw it. I was loving it.
I felt so bad for that dude, man.
They have Josh Allen as one of the finalists as the MVP candidate, and I don't see why.
Yeah.
You had everything handed to you to be in the AFC Championship game, and you freaking blew it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You blew it. So, I mean, but you got Patty Mahomes and those Kansas City Chiefs rolling into Charm City to play your Baltimore Ravens.
Yes.
Sunday afternoon, today. You know, I would say tonight, but today at 3 o'clock, they rolling into Charm City.
Yeah.
And for Baltimore, you got some pretty good news coming up because Mark Andrews is now off of the IR and he will be suiting up and possibly playing. Now, let me tell you something, Brother B. I don't think you need Mark Andrews because you got that young talent, Isaiah Likely, looking very good for him.
Yeah. And that's the question that I have for you, man. Do you think if they insert Andrews into the game, do you think it'll screw up the chemistry that they currently have?
I don't think it'll screw up the chemistry because Lamar Jackson was very comfortable with Mark Andrews. I think he got comfortable with Isaiah Likely. Now, if I were the coach, and I'm not, of those Bum Bird Ravens, as great as they look, I'll still call them Bum Bird Ravens because they find a way to mess it up, and I hope that they don't.
Oh, my God, man. You didn't just put it out in the universe now, man.
Well, I'm just saying, I hope they don't. I will insert Likely and Mark Andrews in the game at the same time.
Really?
Yes, I would.
So then what do you do with your wideouts, like Beckham and Flowers?
You can still run Beckham. You can still run Flowers. Brother B, look, if you put Andrews and Likely at the same time, you have a problem with the defense. That's not something they're going to be looking for.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? So that's a little something that John Harbaugh might want to think about. It's like, you know what? Let me put both of my tight ends in. And I'm not talking about a double tight end set for a running play. It's possibly a pass play. Because now you got Kansas City confused.
Yeah.
And Kansas City, and I've watched them, their defense is pretty good. But on the passing end, they're a little suspect.
Okay.
And I think that would be the ultimate. And let me tell you something. Spagnuolo is an excellent defensive coordinator, but I think that would throw him something he hasn't seen yet, because you know what Mark Andrews gives you.
Oh yeah.
And the surprise has been Isaiah Likely, because he stepped up big.
Right.
So now you got a problem. You got Flowers you got to worry about. You got Likely you got to worry about. You got Mark Andrews you got to worry about, and possibly either Aguilar, who has been catching everything, which is a surprise because this dude couldn't catch a cold when he was in Philly.
Right.
Or Odell Beckham, the veteran.
Right.
So you have a problem, you know? And even if you send all of these guys out in the pattern, well, if nothing's open, Lamar's running. So Kansas City's going to have a problem. They are.
Yeah, yeah.
And on the flip side of that, Baltimore better bring the house against Patrick Mahomes because he's like a magician back there.
Yeah, he finds a way to get the ball out. I don't know how he does it, but he finds a way to get the ball out.
He does. And so that's something. And this is the game. You know what? I'm really looking forward to seeing this game. You know, it's supposed to be pretty decent. Actually, I think there may be a little rain down in Baltimore this afternoon. I think right. That may be a factor, you know. So let's keep up looking at their weather, because I think the weather, in my opinion, will play a big factor. Yes, Kansas City played in that cold up in Buffalo. Yes, Kansas City played in that cold up in Kansas City. But then you're coming down to Charm City, where it might not be as cold, but it might be a little wet there. Right. And let me tell you something, Brady. I'm telling you, everybody who's been talking about this game has been talking about how hard it is to play in Baltimore.
Yes, they are.
They've talked about the fans. They talked about how the stadium is rocking and rolling. They're saying, you know, the fans will just make you feel like, I don't want to be here.
Right.
So
right.
I'm pretty sure the fans of Baltimore are going to bring the noise. They're going to bring the thunder. They're going to make it very difficult for the Chiefs to play in Baltimore this afternoon.
Yeah, well, Lamar in his interview said that they need the fans. They need the fans to be loud. I mean, that's all he had to say.
I'm going to put it to you like this, Brother B. If the defense comes out on fire, or if the offense gets the ball first and they score on that first drive, and I'm not talking about a Justin Tucker field goal, I'm talking about a touchdown, that place is going to be on fire. I have been into M&T Bank Stadium before. I've been there to watch several games. I know what it's like down there.
Right.
I know, and I'm telling you, that is an excellent place to be in as a fan, and it's a nightmare and a horror story for an opposing team.
Right. Well, I can't wait.
So let's get with the pick of this game. Let me tell you, Brother B, I know I talk bad about the Ravens. I do.
Yes,
I call them bum birds. But I cannot deny the talent that they have. I cannot deny what I've seen and what they put out there on the field. They are the best team, and it showed that they have been the best team, not only in the AFC, but in the NFL.
I love it.
So with that being said, Brother B, give me those Baltimore Ravens.
That's what I'm talking about.
Over the Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay. Do you want to predict the score?
I think it's going to be a tight game. I would like to see it might go down to the last possession, but hopefully not. I'm going to say Ravens, 24-20.
Okay.
Moving right along this evening. Man, I got two teams that it breaks my heart. I got to watch these two teams play today.
I know you love those you know, what do you call them?
Because it's the pesky Lions.
Pesky Lions.
Against my Golden Gate guys, those San Francisco 49ers. And you know I like the Lions.
I know you do.
If it was anybody else but the 49ers, I would be rooting for the Lions. And I'm having a hard time just feeling the way that I feel. You know?
Right.
I like this team. I really do. They pulled out one last week. They pulled out with the wild card game. And, you know, they're traveling out west to see the 49ers. And here's a little tidbit. Everybody was wondering, is Debo playing? Well, Debo was a full participant in Thursday afternoon's practice. He was a full participant in Friday's walkthrough, and it looks like he will be playing.
Wow.
And that's big.
That's big.
And here's the big thing. It'll be 74 degrees out in Santa Clara and sunny on Sunday tonight evening out there. And when it's nice weather in Santa Clara, the 49ers thrive. Now, yeah. I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
I like that pesky Lions team.
You said last season that the Lions are going to be the team this year that nobody's going to want to play.
And that's the 49ers right now. You think they want to see the Lions? Hell no. They'd rather play the Buccaneers. They'd rather play the Eagles. They'd rather play the Cowboys. They don't want to see those pesky Lions, because those pesky Lions are going to give them all that they can handle. And I told you last season, I watched this team. I said, they're going to do something special next year, meaning this season.
Yeah.
And here they find themselves in the NFC Championship game. And it just hurts me to my heart that they are playing the 49ers. Because I really would like to see them go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I really would.
Yeah.
They are one of the old school NFL teams.
They are.
They have never been to a Super Bowl. And I just want them to get there so bad. And I like to see them win it. Because to me, they are one of the ultimate underdogs. If I had my way, the Super Bowl this year would have been the Lions and the Browns. Two old school NFL teams that have never tasted what the Super Bowl is all about.
Wow. Okay.
But unfortunately, I'm not part of the powers that be. So we got the Lions and the 49ers. It looks like with Debo coming back, the 49ers will be at full strength and having all cylinders firing. Not to mention CJ Gardner Johnson, I got that right, was talking smack about the 49ers receivers, especially Deebo. And that's something you don't want to do.
No, that's just silly.
You're going into their house and you're talking about their receivers. But let me tell you something, Brother B. You know who thinks it's going to be a big factor in this game?
Who's that?
I think it's going to be George Kittle.
Okay. All right.
And okay. Kittle is a beast. He plays tough. And he already said it. My goal is for us to get back to a Super Bowl. I don't want the NFC Championship West title. I don't even want the NFC Championship title. I want the Super Bowl title. Right. So look at how he plays this evening. So now here comes the hard part for me, because this is really gut wrenching for me. I got to pick a winner for this one.
Yeah,
I got to pick one by somebody. Now, the 49ers are a 7-point favorite. Do I think they'll cover that 7-point? Points? No, they didn't cover last week. Maybe it was the rust, you know, against the Packers.
Right.
I mean, they pulled it out, but they was playing in the rain. You know, the defense didn't look good. Purdy didn't look good. But now the rust is off. You want to get back to the big dance? Here you go. You got those pesky Lions coming into your house, and they're talking a little smack. And I like their coach. I like Dan Campbell. He's putting it all out there. And let me tell you something, Brother B. He's going to be pulling out all the tricks.
Yeah, he will.
Going for it on fourth down.
Yep.
Fake punts. Probably a fake field goal. Don't be surprised at nothing. If this game is close, don't be surprised at nothing that the Lions do.
Right. Right.
And here's a guy, and I think that it's a possibility he may end up as either the Seahawks or the Commanders head coach. And they're talking about Aaron Glenn. Because he got those boys in that pesky line, that pesky line defense, playing some good ball.
Right.
Now, I think we're going to see some PI, pass interference calls, on both sides of the ball. And that's going to be a big factor in today's game. So, I like these Lions. I do. I think they can come in there and upset those guys in Santa Clara. I really think it could happen. Do I think it will happen? Absolutely not. Give me the guys from the Golden Gate City going to the Super Bowl trying to win that sixth ring. So, I told you, and I don't know if you remember, but I said, everybody's saying, you know, that the NFL is rigged, it's scripted, blah, 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 and it's a possibility that you possibly could see the Ravens and the 49ers in the Super Bowl. And if that comes to be the true thing, then yes, the NFL is scripted and is rigged. Well, guess what? The NFL is scripted and is rigged because it will be the Ravens and the 49ers in the Super Bowl. I'm picking the 49ers over the Lions in a close one.
Score being?
27-31, 49ers.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So both teams can put up some points.
I was going to say, yeah. Okay.
Now, one last thing, and I'm going to get out of here, Brother B.
Okay.
We are approximately 1 month away from the pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training.
Wow.
I'm looking for those high-flying O's that gave you 100-plus win season to get back in it and possibly make it to the big game this upcoming season.
Okay.
We're going to keep tabs on that, you know, and not too much about the NBA except for Embiid had, like, 70 points
up here in
Philly. Yeah. And there's talk about he may win his second MVP. But you know what? It's all about championship weekend. We're going to talk about these football games. Next week, we will have a conversation about the two participants in the Super Bowl, most likely Ravens, 49ers. On that note, Brother B, you have a great Sunday. Love the show. Love the topics. I got to get out of here.
All right, brother.
Peace.
Peace, brother. Well, you've heard it from the Petty. He's got both the Niners and the Ravens both winning the championship games today. I'm so happy about the Ravens. I don't know what to do with myself. Mark Andrews is going to be activated, just like he said. And I'm just hoping that he does not throw the chemistry off that the Ravens have had on their winning streak. So look, if you are a fan going to the Ravens game, please make as much noise as you possibly can. We want to keep their defense on their heels. We want to keep their timing off. And having a 12th man making as much noise as we possibly can will certainly do that. So go Ravens. Go, go, go. All right, I want to thank my guest Jamal Bryant for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. He gave us a lot of information about what's going on down there in Georgia. And what's going on in Florida with the black clergy down there. They're doing an amazing job, so I'm very happy to hear that. I want to thank the Petty for joining me, of course, and I also want to thank you for joining me today. I hope that you guys have an amazing Sunday. Remember, relax, do nothing, watch the games, take a load off, chill, because the best thing about doing nothing is you can quit whenever you want. So tomorrow, wake up, still feeling good about that Ravens win today. Be ready to conquer the world, being the best that you can be, inspiring people, and being open to being inspired. Make sure to get at me on Instagram at On With Brian Pettaway. Let me know what you thought of the show, what you thought about Jamal Bryant and his comments. I'd love to get the feedback. And if you missed any portion of the show, or if you know somebody who has missed the show completely, please go to my website, voiceswired.com. You'll see all of the shows there listed from newest to oldest. Please tap onto that tab and have a good time listening to the shows anytime you want. All right, listen, I got to go, people. We'll be back here next week on 1500radio.com at 10 a.m., Baltimore's authentic multimedia experience. Go Ravens. Peace.